Okay, good morning. We're on Yeshaya Perek Tesvov. Yeshaya, more than the other Nevi'im, you find spoke many prophecies about the nations, about the Goyim. And what's challenging is to know why each nation is told a certain prophecy and how they came true and why is it deserving the punishment? And that just when one learns Yeshaya quickly, it just seems like one punishment after another for another nation. It doesn't really strike you until you learn it in depth. And again, you know, as we concluded last week about the Nevuah, about Bavel, the demise of Bavel, Iraq. And as the way the Meforshim explain it, it's when somebody thinks about it, it really is striking. Bavel used to be that whole area in the Middle East and the Fertile Crescent. That was the part of the world that had the most advanced civilizations. It was really the seat of knowledge and culture. And you wonder that it's been hundreds, thousands of years that it's been a wasteland and just nomads living there and the culture and moved to Europe to the descendants of Yefes. And just one last point with the Nevuahs that we mentioned last week with Bavel, it's really all foretold. Nebuchadnezzar was told as a result of destroying the Beis Hamikdash in his lifetime, with all of his boasts that he felt he could climb the highest clouds and be like HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachal. And he was told in his own life, Achal Shol Turad El Yarkasei Bor, he would be dropped to the bottom of the pit. After his death he was punished. He was told, Hoshlachta Mikivrachoi, he's like thrown out of his grave, like a carcass. And we spoke out how his descendant, his son, Evel Merodach, was afraid to take over the throne. Maybe Nebuchadnezzar will make a comeback. Until they exhumed him from the grave and they saw that's, don't worry, he's really dead. And then his children were destroyed. The Pasuk says, Lo yikore la'olam zera mireim, and Pasuk chof, that they won't be proclaimed, they won't be called by name forever, the Zera Mireim, the evil offspring of Nebuchadnezzar. And then the final blow is that Medina, that empire, will never come back. V'kamti aleihem, as we learned last week, V'kamti aleihem in Pasuk Chof Beis, I will arise up against them, Ne'um Hashem Tzvokos, V'chrati le'bovel, and I will cut off from Bavel, shame, their name, Usha'or, and any remnant, Venin, any offspring, child, Venechid, grandchild, Ne'um Hashem, there won't be any continuity. And that's it for Bavel. In other words, it never again arose to prominence, and this Nevuah was said before Bavel had even reached its greatness. But this Yeshaya said before that, and then after that, Bavel had their one time in the spotlight. They were that first of the four empires that controlled the world was Bavel. In fact, the Ramban says, we learned yesterday about the battle of the four kings against the five kings. Vayehi bimei Amroth el Melech Shinor. Shinor is Bavel. Those four kings represent the four empires of the world. The first one was Bavel. And the end is that those four kings were defeated by Avram, which represents that Klal Yisrael will eventually outlast and defeat all the other empires. But all this is foretold, and we see it. It's foretold, and it never again reaches the prominence and its place of importance in world history. Now in Perek Tesvov, we're going to talk about Masa Moav, a prophecy concerning Moav. Just to read the first pasuk, and then we'll talk more about the background. And the Navi immediately starts, Ki b'leil shudad or Moav, on the night that or of Moav was pillaged, Or was the name of a city. Nidma, it was silenced. It was like quiet. Everyone was killed. It was wiped out. It was quiet. Or it could be Nidma means it was silenced. Everyone was sleeping. Nobody was prepared for the attack. But on the night that they were wiped out, it was quiet. Ki Baleil Shudad Kir Moav. On the night that Kir Moav. Kir was another city. On the night that they were plundered and pillaged, Nidma. That city was also quiet. Moab was quiet. And the Navi continues how they're all crying out and wailing and mourning and there's destruction, but he doesn't really give us the background. But Chazal give us the story behind Moab, which is actually very appropriate for these weeks. Last week, yesterday was Parshas Lech Lecha. Next week, Parshas Vayera. This coming Shabbos. And we get a little glimpse into where Moav, the background of Moav. And that's where lies the secret of why Moav is being destroyed. We all know Avram's nephew, Lot, which is actually a subject in and of itself. Who Lot was? Was he good? Was he bad? What was he all about? On one hand, we know that Avram left with his family Ur Kasdim after he was thrown into the fire, Chazal say. And he left and he went to Haran. And that's where his father remained and died eventually. And Avram went together with those who were willing to follow him. And they left Haran, they left there where the family was. Lech lecha mi'artzecha mi'moladzecha mi'beis avicha. They left their family, the father's house, everything, and they went to Eretz Yisrael. And that was the nisoyon for Avraham. And with him went his wife, which is not so surprising, although Sarah was the most, a great tzaddikus in her own right, but the fact she went with Avraham wouldn't be surprising. But Lot also went along. And Lot went together with Avraham. And we find when they went down to Mitzrayim, and Avram told Sarah, Imri no achosiyot, let everybody know, tell them you're my sister. Lot kept the secret. Lot was there, he knew what was going on, and when they stopped her, and as Chazal say, they opened up the box, Avram had hidden Sarah, and they discovered Sarah inside. Lot kept quiet. And this whole thing went, and they left the Mitzrayim, and Lot was quiet. But then it seems Lot, at one point there, shortly afterwards, they had all of this mikneh, the cattle, the shepherds were fighting. And the pasuk says, Avram said to Lot, Al nasi meriva beini uveinecha. There shouldn't be a quarrel between me and you, vein roai uvein roecha, my shepherds and your shepherds. The land's in front of you, he purin on me aloi, separate now from me. Choose whichever direction you want to go, and I'll be by your side. You go to the north, I'll be to your south. Pick your direction, I'll be there to you, to assist you. But please separate. And Lot lifted his eyes. Vayaris kol kikar hayarden. He saw the whole kikar hayarden before it had been destroyed, areas of stone and Amora. Vayivchar lo Lot eis kol kikar hayarden. And as the Ramban explains, Lot chose for himself the whole Kikar HaYarden. As he told Avram, you can live wherever else you want, but this whole area he wanted for himself. It was the most beautiful, lush area, fertile, irrigated. There were trees and plants. It was like Kigan Hashem, like you'd imagine Gan Eden on earth. Keretz Mitzrayim, like land of Mitzrayim. And Lot chose that. So Avram Yoshav Eretz Canaan, Avram lived all over the rest of Canaan, traveled around, and Lot had this area. Chazal say, that when Lot chose the Kikar HaYarden, Vayisa Lot Mikedem, Lot traveled away from Avram. Chazal say, Vayisa Lot Mikedem, Nosa Me'etzel Avram. He traveled away from Avram. V'holach lo l'marovo shel Avram. And he went toward the west, of where Avram was. Nosiam Mizrach Lemarov. He traveled from the east and he moved away from Avram. Umedrash Agoda. Rashi brings down Hisia Atzmo Mikadmono Shel Olam. He traveled away from Mikedem, from the one who preceded the world, from the first existence. He traveled away from Hashem. Omar, Lot said, Efshi lo ba'Avram v'lo be'lokov. I don't want to have to do with Avram, and I don't want to deal with his God. That's it. He left, he departed Avram, and from then on, it was downhill for Lot. Although we do find that there was some remnant, he had Achnosas Orchim in Sodom, and he risked his life to do Achnosas Orchim. But from this point, Vayisa Lot Mikedem, he traveled away. Once he left Avram, he left HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I saw Rav Henoch Leibowitz, the Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Henoch Leibowitz Zatzal, the Rosh Yeshiva from Chofetz Chaim, develops a Musar Shmuz on this topic with Lot traveling away. And the question is, it was Avram Avinu's idea. Avram said to him, Hipored no me'olai. Separate now, or please separate from me. Avram asked him, Lot, to separate. What was wrong with the fact that Lot left? But it seems that when Lot left, the Gemara Nozir, on Daf Chof Gimel, on Daf Chof Gimel Amid Beis, says, L'tava yivakesh nifrod. Somebody who's after taivus, he's after his own desires, that's what a nifrod, a guy who separates, is looking for. To be part of a group, to have a friendship and a relationship, you have to be willing to give and to look at the betterment of everyone. And somebody who's involved in his own desires, L'taiva, he's going after taivus, he separates from others because he wants to have his own pleasures. Uvachol tushia, and in every place of knowledge, tushia refers to Torah, because Torah is the root of that word. Tushia is yesh; it has substance to it. Torah has something to it. It's a reality. Uvachol tushia, in the place where they learn Torah, yiskala, we're going to uncover, we're going to reveal his deficiencies and his shortcomings. It's going to be revealed that he's a Baal Taiva. And the Gemara says in Nozir on Chof Gimlam at Beis, the Taiva Yevake Shnifrod, a guy who's after Taivas, separates. Zelot. It's referring to Lot. Uvachol Tushia Yiskala, and that's going to be discussed in all of the places of Torah. Because his descendants, Sheniskala Kolono Bevote Knesios Uvavote Midroshos, they talk about his disgrace. That his daughters, who bore his children, are also to marry into Klal Yisrael. Lo yovo amoni amoavi b'kal Hashem. They're not allowed to marry into Klal Yisrael. Rashi over there explains, what was wrong with L'taiva Yivakish Nifrod? What do you mean that Lot is the Baal Taiva? You go see Sodom, it's such a beautiful land. He's going after his Taivas and he separates. What's wrong? He was told by Avram to separate. And Rashi says, Lidvar Averi Yivakish Misha Nifrad. Somebody separated is going after his Averis. And it's referring to Lot. And Rashi, V'samichle Vayisa Lot Mikedem. And Rashi says three words. Shehu Nifrad Techila. He separated first. Avram Avinu said to Lot, separate now from me. And when Lot heard that, picked up his eyes, he took a look, and he was out. He was going straight. Vayisa Lot Mikedem, he traveled. He should have tarried. He should have lingered. How can he leave somebody like Avram? And yet, he left. And as I say, it's in the school of the Bali Musa, this is a shmooze. He used to say that when Seder's over, at whatever time, and the Bachrim get up to go on their way, they have to be aware of this. It's not enough to wait till the end of Seder. It's the end of Seder, you're right, you have to move on, and the day has a schedule, and you have to, at a certain point, they close the Gemara, and they go eat lunch, and daven mincha, whatever else they have to do. But he says you should pause for a minute. You got to be careful not to run out. Here, Lot had to separate, but he left first. And therefore, it's considered as if at that point he quickly left. He left Avram. He took the first step. And therefore, he left Yevshi Lob Avram below Belokov. And he went to stone. And as we all know, when stone was wiped out, when stone was first, when it was wiped out, Avram, Lot fled with his family. The Malachim took them. And then Lot lived with his daughters. They thought nobody else was alive in the world. And they gave birth, the older one gave birth to Moab, and the younger one gave birth to the nation of Ammon. This Nevuah, Masa Moab, now, it's important to keep in mind, first of all, geographically, Moab is right near Eretz Yisrael. It's on the other side of the Yarden. It's right near Eretz Yisrael. We're neighbors. And not only were they neighbors, but they're related to Avram Avinu. As their father, Avram Avinu is their great uncle. Their father, Lot, was a nephew. So they're really family with Klal Yisrael. And we'll see, as we learn through the Psukim and it's discussed their destruction, it seems that Lot was Ammon, Moab, Lot, they were a very big disappointment. It was expected that somebody who was so close to Avram Avinu and had taken the steps and had traveled with Avram and had this closeness, and now Moab is next to Eretz Yisrael. And we'll see, instead of helping out Klal Yisrael, they made things more difficult and they handed us over to the enemy. They weren't the main opponents of Klal Yisrael, but there was a tremendous deficiency in their character to be so close to Klal Yisrael and not learn. And that seed and that beginning of Vayisa Lot Mikedem, of traveling away from Avram and traveling away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Maral Miprag, and this is mentioned in that Musa Shmuz from Avhenach Libowitz. They have a sefer of his on Chumash. It's in Parshas Lech Lecha. This deficiency, Vayisa Lot Mikedem, that Lot traveled away from Avram, he traveled away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that was the reason why his children could no longer join with Klal Yisrael and could no longer marry into Klal Yisrael, because that feeling that he must have had inside of Latavi Yavake Shnifrat, he just wanted to have that freedom. He wanted to go after his desires. He took the step of actually leaving first. And a person has many thoughts and many feelings, and it's very important to strengthen your good emotions and your good thoughts and your good feelings. He compares it to somebody working out, I guess like running the marathon. But as somebody who's working out, so you strengthen your physical muscles. And he says the same thing in Ruchnius. A person has many thoughts and many emotions and desires. He has to be careful. L'tayvi yavake shnifrat. He might have these taivas and these desires, but vayisa lod, when he took that step and he traveled, that already solidified this chesaron that Lod had, and therefore it was a natural outcome that eventually they wouldn't bring Klal Yisrael al devar shelakid moeschem balachem uvamayim. They wouldn't bring us the food and water. And eventually, and therefore, lo yovo amoni amoavi pekal Hashem, they can't marry into the Jewish nation. And now, Masa Moav. The Novi says, Masa Moav, this is a prophecy concerning Moav. Ki Baleil Shudad, Or Moav, on the night that Or of Moav was pillaged, Nigma, it was silent. Ki Baleil Shudad Kir Moav, on the night that Kir, the city Kir of Moab, was pillaged, Nidma, it was quiet. The Malbim learns that the truth is, Or was a city, and it was called Or, like the word ear. A city is a city without a wall. Kir is like Kiros Habayis, the walls of the house. The city Kir was called that, it had a wall around it. Moab had these two large cities on the border. One of them was open. It was open to commerce. People came and they went. There was easy access. That was the city of Ur. There was another city that had, it was a fortress, and they must have had an army there, and if there'd be any problems, the army could leave and attack the enemy, but the army was safe. They were behind a wall, they were in a fortress, and that was the strength of Moab to protect them. The punishment of Moab seems to have come suddenly. Could be they were sleeping, some of Forsham learn. And on the night they came, it was all quiet. It was either it was silent when the enemy came to attack, or after Moab was wiped out, it was silent after that. But these were the first two cities that were struck on the border of Moab. And it was quiet. Moab didn't react. They didn't mobilize their troops. It was quiet. Those two main cities were conquered. Very often, there's a war, and then the victor who defeats the opposing army will go into the city and take and pillage. Here there wasn't even like a war before. The enemy came, and as we'll see later on, Sancheiriv was the enemy that began and basically defeated Moab and wiped them out. And what Sancheiriv left over, what the king of Ashur, the Assyrian Empire, left over, Bavel finished up under Nebuchadnezzar. But here immediately, I was on that night, these cities were pillaged, the enemy came in suddenly, and they destroyed the city. And Chazal say, it stresses two times, Ki Belail Shudad Ar Moav, and Belail Shudad Kir Moav, on the night. Moav was responsible for two different nights. When they fled with Lot into the cave, that first night, Moav lived together. That daughter of Lot, the older daughter, lived together with her father. She conceived a child. That became Moab. The next night, the older daughter, once again, it was her idea, told the younger sister to live with Lot and have a child. Those two nights. Now, these actions are finally being brought to bear. And we'll see, Moab, the people at that time, were also guilty, but the guilt and these chesronos date back to the very beginning. Ki Belail, because of the night, Shudad Ar Moav. And Belail the next night, also Shudad Kir Moav. I saw this thought in the Me'am Loes, and he mentions even though the Gemara says they did it l'shem Shamayim, as far as they knew, the world as they knew went up in smoke. They looked at Sodom and Amorah. The wife of Lot looked and turned into salt, but they knew the whole area was being destroyed. So they did a l'shem Shamayim. But there's another night that they're again guilty. Moab was afraid, and we learned in Parshas Balak, that Klal Yisrael is coming, and they're going to destroy the land. Atza Yilachachu Hakol, it's called Saviv Oseinu, all the areas around them will be destroyed. And Moab sent a message to Bilam, who was in Midian, asking for help. And Bilam said to them, Linu po halayla, stay here overnight, and I'll let you know what Hashem tells me. So there was another night. And that the fact that, again, they spent the night over there trying to think of a way to destroy Klal Yisrael, whatever good intentions they had here are nullified by the fact they spent this night plotting against Klal Yisrael. So, Belail Shudad Ar Moav, on the night that these cities were plundered, Nidma, it was silent. Belail Shudad Kir Moav, Nidma, again, it was silent. This Nevuah for Moav, like the Nevuahs about in general the Goyim, it wasn't expected when Yeshaya said this nevuah. It wasn't said for them to do tshuva. The goyim very often are used as a lesson for Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is supposed to look and see what happens to the nations of the world, and Hashem has a reckoning. And this is Yeshaya that we learn to see the nevuah about Moab, that whatever faults they had, and the way we're going to see the way they hurt Klal Yisrael and the suffering they caused us, there's a punishment. And it's told in advance, and the punishment comes true, and it's a lesson for Klal Yisrael. And for Moav, this was actually surprising. That there are four Nevi'im, which we'll talk about later, that said Nevu'ah is about Moav. There's a very similar Nevu'ah in Yirmiyah. And in Yirmiyah, Perek Mem Ches. It has a very similar language to the to our nevuah here, but over there in Perek Mem Ches is a pasuk that says as follows. It talks about the fact that Moav had an easy, tranquil existence. Shanan Moav minu'urav. Moav was complacent from its youth. V'shokeinu el shemarav. It was tranquil on its lees. The shmarm is like the sediments at the bottom of a barrel of wine. It was quiet and tranquil. Imagine a bottle of wine where at the bottom you have whatever sediments, but the wine itself is clear. Lohurak mikli al keli. It wasn't poured from one container to another. The people of Moab weren't shifted around from one place to another. Uvagola lo holoch. They didn't go into exile. Al kain amatamabo. Therefore, it still has its taste. The scent wasn't diminished. Moav had a very quiet, perfect existence for hundreds of years. Until now, this Nevuah is coming, and they're quiet, they're not expecting, and all of a sudden, the enemy's going to come and wipe out Moav. Olo Habayis! Moav went up to the house, could be the house where they have their Avodah Zorah. V'divon, and the people of Divon went habamos up to the place where they had their high places. They used to put altars over there. Levechi, and they went there to cry. It could be they went to cry and pray to their idols. But most Mefarshim learned Levechi, they went to cry over the fact that the enemy was coming and now they were getting a punishment. Al Nevo, about the place Nevo, Val Medva, and Medva, Moav Yeyilil. For these cities, Moav is wailing. V'chol Rosh of Karcha, on all of their heads there is baldness. Kol Zokon Gidua, all of the beards are diminished, they're chopped, they're cut off as a sign of mourning. When the enemy came, they weren't inspired, the army didn't mobilize to fight. Kir and Or, these cities were pillaged. And the reaction seems to be that they went up to the high places, they went up to their temples, and they cried. They were just, as we'll see in a moment, they didn't feel the courage to fight or to react. All that happened was, the Malbim says, like, Kinoshim hachaloshos, it's like there were no men in the army to fight. It's like the only thing they could do, the only reaction they had, was to cry. And we'll see what happens as the enemy captures more and more cities. We'll see what happened with the army. But at this point, still, Ola Habayis, they went up to the house. V'divon Habomos, and the people of Divon went up to the high places, Levechi, to cry. These were cities. We're going to mention a lot of cities. Besides, we mentioned Or in Kir. And now we have the people of Divon, and they're crying about Nevo and Medva. A lot of these cities, the names might sound vaguely familiar. But we had, and we'll mention a number of the places where the Torah refers to them. But in Parshas Matos, when the people of Reuven and Gad had a lot of sheep, they came and they said to Moshe and to Elazar HaKohen, they said, there are many cities over here that would be very appropriate for us because we have a lot of sheep, and this is a place of pasture where we could raise the sheep. Ataros v'divon, v'yazer v'nimro v'cheshbon v'el olei usvam u'nevo v'on. So the Nevo that we're mentioning in this pasuk, and we'll see a few others. These were prominent cities in Moav. And Moab later on did become an ideal pasture land. It says they used to go there to get the sheep for the karbanos, because in this area was ideal pasture. But the Jews, Bnei Gad, Bnei Reuven, Chati Shevet Menashe, they had this land on the other side of the Yarden. But after the 10 tribes were exiled, Sancheirav took them away, eventually Moab again took over that territory. So Moab is once again in these cities. B'chutzosav chogru suk. And in the streets, they donned sackcloth. They wore the rough clothing. Al-gagoseha, on the rooftops. Uvirchovoseha, and in the streets, the plazas. Kulo yiyelil. Everyone is wailing. Yorei babechi, and lamenting. With weeping, I'm using the art school here, you should know there are so many different terms to describe their cries and their shouts and their pleas and their weeping and their, in Lashon HaKodesh, each word has its own significance. But the art school has it very well translated, that Agagoseha on the rooftops and in the plazas, Kulo Yiyelil, everyone is wailing. Yorei babechi, and they're lamenting with weeping. It wasn't just in their rooms people were crying. It was in the streets. And as everybody went out in the streets, it was like a public surrender, a public feeling that there was nothing they could do about it. They wore sackcloth outside. And not only in the streets where people, you see people walking around, but they went on the rooftops. Where on the rooftops people are more visible, they're out in the open. And on the rooftops you could see them. And in the Rechovoseha is the wide area where people gather, the plaza and the large marketplaces. People are walking around there. It's like a public acknowledgement that this punishment, there's nothing to do to stop the enemy. Batizak Cheshbon Vel Olei, Cheshbon cries out, and El Olei, Ad Yahatz Nishma Kolom, their voice is heard all the way to Yahatz. Al Kain Chalutze Moav Yoriu, therefore the armed soldiers of Moav shout. Now already the enemy has come into the country, not just the cities on the border, but they've conquered more cities. And now all of a sudden the army seems to be aware, the Chalutzei Moav, the armed soldiers of Moav, they shout. But Nafsho Yorolo, its soul shouts for it, which we're going to see in a moment, they were not able to fight. But Ad Yahatz Nishma Kolom, their voice was heard to Yahatz. When Moshe Rabbeinu is telling Klal Yisrael about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us through the Midbar and gave us the Torah and the Mon, and telling over everything that happened in Sefer Devarim, and he mentions we came near Eretz Yisrael and we battled with Sichon in Parshas Devarim, Perek Beis, Pasuk Lamed Beis, it says, Vayetze Sichon Likrosenu. Sichon came out to greet us. Hu v'chol amo l'milchomo. He and all of his people came to war. Yotza. To the place Yotza. Yotza was on the boundary between Sichon conquered that from Moab. In Parshas Chukas, in fact, the Pasuk describes exactly the lands that Sichon conquered from Moab. But he conquered, Yotza, that's Ad Yahatz. Ad Yahatz Nishma Kolom. The sound and the cries from Cheshbon and El Olei were heard all the way to Yahatz. Al Kain Chalutze Moav Yoriu. And therefore the armed soldiers of Moav, Yoriu, they shout. Navsho Yorolo, the soul of Moav shouts for itself. It's like mourning for itself, almost as if no one else is concerned with Moav except for Moav. It was no longer a shout of war, it was a shout of nafsho yoralo. It's an internal. It's a shout that their life is endangered and their life is ebbing away. That the nation, the enemy has destroyed, is destroying Moab. Sometimes a person feels he can't fight. Inside, he feels he can fight, but he doesn't put up the struggle. Here, it's inwardly, the soldiers realize that they didn't have a chance. Nafsho yoralo. Libi lemoav yizok. My heart cries out for Moab. Vricheho, the refugees, those that are being boreach, who are fleeing. Ad Tsoar, they go all the way to Tsoar, Eglas Shlishiya, which was like the third born calf. Eglas Shlishiya either means a calf, that the third animal that's born to its mother was the strongest. The first one could be the difficulty. Childbirth takes a toll on that first offspring, but with the animals, the third one was considered the choice one. The Eglas Shlishiya. Other Mephoshim say it's a three-year-old calf when it's reached its prime. But that's when it's at its strongest and at its best. And now the refugees flee to Tsoar, which was Eglash Lishia, their prime city. Kimale haluchis, by the ascent going up to Luchis, bivchi yalebo, instead of going up for celebrations or for parties to this prominent place, they now ascend the mountain crying. Kiderech Choronayim, by the road to Choronayim, Zakas Shever Ye'o'eru. They howl with the cry of catastrophe. Rashi says Ye'o'eru means Yitzaku, they cry out. And V'loshen Arami, who it's a word of Arami, it's from the Aramaic language. But the Navi uses a different word to try to give us the full feeling of the mourning and the crying and the despair that overtook Moab. Libi leMoav Yizok. Rashi says, and I quote, Nevi'a Yisrael einam ki Nevi'a Yumas HaOlam. The Nevi'im of Klal Yisrael are not like the prophets of the nations. Bilam hayim avakesh lakor es Yisrael. Bilam was a Novi, and his desire was to destroy Klal Yisrael. Alo dover, for no reason. Unevi'e Yisrael misonanim al puronus habo al ha'umos. While the Nevi'im of Klal Yisrael mourn over punishment that the nations get. We feel bad when a guy suffers. When a person hears, if you hear that somebody, a catastrophe came, it's not the... Unless it's an enemy, though, those enemies of Klal Yisrael, there's always a balance between, on one hand, there's a Kvod Shamayim and a Kiddush Hashem that we want to see in this world, that justice is meted out, and there's a Yesh Din V'Yesh Dayan, that it's a Chil Hashem when somebody hurts Klal Yisrael or goes against Hashem and nothing, and he doesn't get his punishment. And there's a Kiddush Hashem when HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes the Nakama on behalf of Klal Yisrael, and then the Goyim get their punishment. On the other hand, if it's not directly the enemy, if right now Moab is not attacking Klal Yisrael, and they're suffering because of what they've done wrong. But if it isn't directly, they're not our enemy right now. The general feeling is, Libi leMoav Yizok. The Navi says, my heart cries out for Moab. The Nevi'im of Klal Yisrael feel bad when the nations of the world suffer. V'richeho, those that have fled at Tsoar, they go all the way till Tsoar. V'richeho can also mean like a briach is a bolt that locks the door. V'richeho can mean the strong ones. And now that Tsoar, they flee to Tsoar, Eglash Shlishia, which is like the strong, this ideal choice, calf. Kimali aluchis, they're going up the ascent crying, and by the road of Choronayim, Zaka Shever Ye'o'eru. They're howling with the cry of catastrophe. Kinmei Nimrim, the waters of Nimrim, Mishamos Yiyu, are going to be laid waste. They're going to be destroyed. Either it simply means the waters are going to dry up. And Moab was this beautiful pasture land, and if there's no water, the whole economy and the whole civilization falls apart. And now the waters of Nimrim, which is one of their rivers, Mishamos Yiyu, it's going to be laid waste and the river's going to dry up. Rashi says they're going to be desolate because there's going to be so many people killed. The rivers will turn red with the blood of those who are killed. So the river will be destroyed. Ki yovesh chatzir, the herbage is dried up. The grass is withered. Kol ha'desha, the herbage is finished. Yerek lohoya, there's no more greenery. Everything seems to be dying. The chatzir, which is already more grown, those grasses dry up. Kol ha'desha, desha is on the surface of the earth. It's now doesn't exist anymore. And yerek, the greenery of the vegetables, which needed more water, lohoya, didn't exist. Al-Kain Yisra also. And the reason for all this is the wealth that they had accrued. Ufakudasam, and all of their possessions. Al-Nachal Ho'arovin, by the brook of the willows. Yisoum, they'll be carried off. Al-Kain Yisra also. Again, I want to learn this Rashi. This Rashi gives us a glimpse of exactly why Moab is getting their punishment. Al-Kain Yisra Asa, because it's accumulated this wealth, Rashi says, Al-Asher Yisra Asa, it has accumulated so this wealth, Tovo Lov HaPuronus HaZeh, they're going to get this punishment. Shehoyu Kifuye Tova, Moab was Kafui Tov. Kafui Tov is when you do somebody a favor. And literally, Kafui Tov means to cover over the goodness. To ignore it as if you don't see it. Somebody does you a favor and it's ignored, and the person pretends it never happened, that's a Kafui Tov. Sharei b'kama makomos amid Avram l'Lot. There were many places where Avram stood and took up the cause to help out Lot. B'tzei somei Charan. Avram took Lot with him when he went from Charan. Which was also the concern we mentioned that on one hand it is a certain mila of Lot that he was willing to leave and go with Avram. But it was mutual. Avram cared for Lot and took him. Avram was the one who was responsible for this expedition and he took along Lot. Uvalechto l'Mitzrayim. And he went to Mitzrayim. There was no food. Vayi rov ba'aretz. There was the famine and Avram took Lot with him. Uvizechuso shulach mitoch ha'afecha. And it was in the zechus of Avram Avinu that Lot was spared when stone was destroyed. V'nilchom alav imam rofel v'chaveirov. And before that, Avram had fought with Amrofel, with the four kings, in order to save Lot's life. So Avram really cared for Lot every step of the way. V'hoyolahem ligmol tova l'zaro. So Moab should at least done good to the children of Avram Avinu, to the descendants. And not only didn't they do good, but v'heim ha'yumonim osam. Moab went ahead and they would chepa, they would try to hurt the feelings they would of Klal Yisrael. K'shehigla Sancheiriv, l'Ruveini v'lagodi. When Sancheiriv took the people, the tribes of Ruvain and Gad, and he brought them to exile. V'ho Yisrael bochim, and Klal Yisrael was crying, u'misoninim in mourning, V'ayu omrim lahem, and they were, Moab was right in that area. Moab said to them, Amo atem misoninim, what are you feeling bad about? V'lo leveis avichem atem holchim, where Sancheiriv is taking you back in the direction of Charon, or that's where you came back, that's where the roots of your nation come from. Avram Avichem lo me'eivra anorba. Didn't Avram Avinu come from that part of the world? V'zeo shenemar. And that's what the Novi Tzfanya. He was one of those four Nevi'im that spoke about Moab. There's Yeshaya. We mentioned Yirmiah. Tzfanya, and Yecheskel also has a nevuah about Moab. But Tzfanya said, Shamati cherpas Moab, v'gidufei b'nei Amon. I've heard the blasphemy. But it's interesting, as we're learning, and we'll see the blame is that they're kfuye tov. They didn't hurt Klal Yisrael as much as nations like Edom. We'll say by Edom, they were blamed that Val Tamod el Aperek l'hachri says Plitov. Ovadia says that they were there in order to wipe out. They stood there waiting for the fleeing Jews to kill the Jews that fled. Here Moav, the first point Rashi makes is that they overlooked the kindness that Avram did for their ancestor. In addition to that, they helped Sancheirif for the 3 years, Shetzor al Shomron. When Sancheirif came, and we know he was wiped out outside Yerushalayim, but before that, he conquered the land of the 10 tribes, the land of Shomron, and there was a 3 year siege till Sancheirif defeated them. Moav helped out. Hushanemar, Bishloshonim ki shnei sochir, and 3 years, that were exactly 3 years, like the years of a hired laborer, who if you hire him for 3 years, he doesn't come an extra day. It's precise. Benikla kol kavod Moav, the honor of Moav will be insignificant, and they'll get their punishment. So al king Yisra Asa, all of the wealth and everything that Moav accumulated, ufakudosam, and ufakudosam can mean their possessions, like a pikodon, whatever they have with them, al nachal ha'arovim yisom, they'll be carried off to the willow brook, to the nachal of the arovim. The enemies will take them, take whatever they have, and bring them to Nachal Arovim, which Rashi says is the land of Bovel. Al Arovim besocha tolinu kinoro seinu. When we went into Golis on the willow trees, the Levium hung their harps. So that was the Nachal Arovim. The Ramban says I might have mentioned this before, but it's actually miraculous. But the more somebody learns the Lashon HaKodesh, which is you can actually see that it's the language of Hashem, the way the words, the vocabulary, the Hebrew language. Now, as I say, what passes for now for Hebrew, a lot of it is modern, made-up words. It's not Lashon HaKodesh. But the vocabulary of Lashon HaKodesh is very few words. It's much less than the English language, much more than the other languages. There aren't that many nouns and words. And yet, you can see how all the words have a meaning, and the words are related, and it's the language of Lashon HaKodesh is the most remarkable language. And what brings that to mind is we're talking about Kafui Tov, about denying the goodness. And there's a Ramban that mentions this idea. In Parshas Hazinu, it says, Hal Hashem Tikmuluzos. Hashem says to Klal Yisrael, is this the way you act to Hashem? I'm Novol. You're a nation that's Novol. That's a low type of nation. Rashi says they forgot what was done for them and they're not wise. How can you forget and you treat Hashem this way? You don't keep the mitzvos. You forgot what Hashem did for you. The Ramban says the word novel, ulafi daiti, the Ramban says, in my opinion, if you do somebody a favor for nothing, a tovas chinam, that's called a nodiv. Usually they translate nodiv, a generous person. But a nodiv is somebody who does you a favor that's not deserved. And the opposite of that is a novel. A meshalim ro'o l'misha heiti vimo is called a novel. Why I mention that is, the Ramban says, how come is that person called a novel? And he says in Lashon HaKodesh, very often the bays and the pay are interchangeable. We might have mentioned this in a previous year. But for instance, Yashev Rucho Yizlu Moyim. Yashev is to blow. And Noshafto Veruchacho, Noshafto also means to blow. The bays and the pay come are pronounced from a similar part of the mouth. It's a similar sound, and they're interchangeable. Nevela, therefore the Ramban says, is like the word nefela. We know an animal that has an internal defect that can't live, that's called a trefa. A nevela is an animal that didn't have any, it wasn't a sick animal, it just died. A nevela is an animal that didn't have shechita, that died. It's like you have an animal that collapsed. Nefela, it fell. An animal that falls dead is called a nevela. And the word novel is the same thing. That a person like this, novel is like nofel. He's fallen from his madrega of a person. There's a certain thing that a person is supposed to have, the certain, you'd say, the minimum standard to be a member of the human race. There's a simple thing that if somebody does you a favor, you remember it, you acknowledge it, and you would certainly reciprocate. And if you do nothing, according to the Ramban, that still doesn't make you a novel. But if somebody does you a favor and it's repaid, Meshalim Roa Tachas Tova, that becomes a novel. That's like the lowest level. How can you do this to somebody who did you a Tova? It's perhaps a way to gain a little glimpse and try to a little bit of an appreciation how Moav is blamed for the fact that Avram helped out Lot so many centuries earlier, and therefore Moav is blamed for the fact that they didn't help Klal Yisrael. If anything, they hurt us. And they weren't makir toy for everything that Avram Avinu did. And again, though, the Mefarshim mentioned the fact that they were so close, so closely related to Klal Yisrael. And they were neighbors of Klal Yisrael. And they're so close, and they benefited from Klal Yisrael and from Avram. And yet there's such a relationship, and yet they turned the other way, and instead of helping, they even assisted Sancheiriv when he laid siege to Shomron. Ufukudosam al nachal ha'aravim yisom, and therefore their wealth and whatever they have will be taken away to Bavel. The Malbim explains that the truth is the economy of a country. You always have a country produces different items, and the surplus is exported. And instead the country brings in, and for all those exports, they're able to import whatever they need. Over here the Novi's saying, once Moav would transport things by this river, they had this river, May Nimrim, the waters of Nimrim are now going to be desolate. And therefore, what will happen is, they won't be able to carry on the commerce. And Alkein Yisra, all of their abundance, that what's extra, also, they're now just going to have to gather it and hold on to it. They won't have a way of shipping their exports because they used to send it on the river and the river is dried out. So the Yisra, all of that abundance, also, they're going to have to gather it and hold on to it. Like V'Yisrael Osech Choyel. Osech can mean to gather. Me'asher lo vinu osa es kol hakavod hazeh. Osa can mean to gather together. So all of that abundance, they're just going to have to gather it. Ufakudosam, we can learn to mean what they're lacking. Lo nifkad mimenu ish, or ki poked moshavecha, it means your seed, you'll be missing. Ufakudosam, whatever they're missing, won't find its way to Moav. Al nachal ha'aravim yisom will be whatever they would have imported now will end up in Bavel. They'll be stuck with whatever they have. They won't be able to import what they're lacking. Ki kifa hazaoka es gavul Moav. The cry has surrounded the boundaries of Moav. All over Moav there'll be this outcry. Ad eglayim yilalosa. To the place Eglayim is her wailing. Uve'er Elim Yilalosa. To the place Be'er Elim, there'll be her wailing. Ki Medimon Molu Dom. the waters of Dimon, which was the name of a river, and this is a play on words because the name of the river was Dimon, and now they'll be filled with something like Dimon, they'll be filled with blood. Ki oshisal Dimon no sophos. I will pour more of it. There'll be additional blood, additional Dimon water flowing in this place. Dimon liquid. Now, there'll be a lot of people in Moab killed, or no sophos can mean there'll be gathered extra armies against Moab. Lifleitas Moab. And what remains, the survivors of Moab, are ye. They'll be attacked with a lion. There'll be wild animals in the land. Belisha'eris, and those that remain, Adama, the land itself will wipe them out. There'll be hunger and there'll be disease, and the land itself will cause their destruction. Another pshat is Nebuchadnezzar is compared to a lion. The Novi says, Ola Arye Misubko, the lion comes out from the thicket, referring to Nebuchadnezzar. Sancheriv and Ashur are going to wipe out Moab. But Lifleitas Moab, those that remain from the survivors of Moab, Arye, will be confronted by the lion, by Nebuchadnezzar and Bavel. V'lisha'eris, Klal Yisrael, Rashi brings this pshat, Klal Yisrael is the remnant. We're the ones that remained, the few Jews have remained through the centuries. V'lisha'eris to Klal Yisrael, Adama, eventually Klal Yisrael will take over again this land of Moab and will be part of Eretz Yisrael. Thank you.